Born in 1592 in the Highlands of Scotland, and he is still alive. He is immortal. Constantly facing other immortals in combat to the death, the winner takes his enemy's head, and with it, his power. We know the truth about immortals. In the end, there can be only one. May it be Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 4, Episode 6, Reunion. And here with you to talk about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and with me, as always, is Audie. How are you this week?
Doing good, man. It's been a regular week for a change, so...
That is a nice welcome change.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is it's one of those weeks at school where there's, like, special dress-up days, and it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Just figure something out. Like, it's weeks like this. I'm like, why do you have a dress code at all if you're going to keep doing these things? So, but right. This week it's Dr. Seuss week, so it's more fun.
Yeah. I mean, got to give the kids something different, especially if they have a dress code. To have days like that is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, great. So yeah, we've got an episode that had some things going on in it. Vaguely remembered this episode, but not heavily. I remembered the first episode that had Kenny in it more than I remembered this one.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit and kind of some, I have some thoughts there. But I think that overall, I think it was pretty good. So, you know,
yeah.
Kudos to them for that. I did notice too, it was the same director. So Dennis Barry directed, The Lamb in season, three. With Kenny, and he directed this episode too, which I think was smart. Dennis Barry did a lot of episodes of Highlander, but I think it was good to bring him in for this one specifically because he had worked with Lisa Howard as Anne Lindsay, because he had worked with Miles Ferguson as Kenny. And I think there's some consistency there that certainly helps.
Yeah, having directed the previous story, he's going to be on top of it more than somebody else necessarily.
Yep, absolutely. Well, before we talk about the episode, though, got to play that Watcher Chronicle. I've got one. We'll play it.
Heck yeah.
Here it is.
October 30th, 1995. MacLeod got a call from the hospital that Dr. Anne Lindsay needed to see him urgently. I followed him there and was surprised to see Kenny is back in town. Last time we saw him, he had taken the head of Dalman Ross and then disappeared. In fact, he was not the only other immortal at the hospital. There was a man there that MacLeod knows as well. I think it was Terence Kincaid. Last I heard, he had just been found on some little speck of an island in the South Pacific. Never a dull week around Duncan MacLeod, is there?
So after a quick recap of the last episode where we saw Kenny, a little previously on Highlander, which we haven't seen for a while. So that was kind of and it was about the right length of time, I think, to use to recap that episode as well.
I think it almost stretched just a little too long, but
I can see that. However, remember that this is again a syndicated show, so there's no you gotta have enough to remind people of who these characters are,
right?
So you're right, it got right up to the line where it could have started to stray to being too much, but I didn't think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, we see Kenny running scared through a car park. He's holding his arm, it looks like, and there's a guy stalking behind him, doing the kind of the Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers walk, just walking slowly, walking out of the mist. And Kenny's running like crazy, running. He ends up going inside. It's the hospital is where he's at. And he runs in and starts yelling and screaming, help, help me, but doesn't stop for anyone. Just bolts through the ER, until he literally runs into Dr. Anne Lindsay, who we haven't seen for quite some time. And she recognizes him and takes him, starts to look at his arm. But right as that happens, we see the guy that was following Kenny pull out a sword and cut the power line to the hospital. Now, I'm going to suspend my disbelief and allow that to happen, even though the hospital would have a generator. That yeah. would not happen. So while Dr. Lindsay is looking at Kenny's arm, he notices the guy has come into the hospital. She sees it as well, asks Kenny if he knows who that is. Of course, he says, I don't know who that is at all. But then she looks down and notices his arm is healed. He's no longer injured. Mm-hmm. And asks, basically tells Kenny, look, I know you're an immortal. And says, hey, there's a chapel. There's holy ground. Go there. Hide. And then she goes to have Duncan called and tell him it's urgent. So he shows up at the hospital, concerned for Anne. And she's like, no. It's about your cousin. He's like, my cousin? Yeah, the one from Wisconsin. Wink, wink. He's like, Kenny's here? He's flabbergasted that it's Kenny. And, you know, basically doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Kenny doesn't want to have anything to do with Duncan. They are not on good terms.
No.
They argue in the chapel. And Duncan, I kind of like this version of Duncan because it's sort of like playful Duncan where he's just like, screw this kid. I don't care. I'm leaving. And Anne really wants him to help Kenny. She doesn't understand that Kenny's 800 years old.
Right.
Kenny's like, no, all he wants is my head, blah, blah, blah. Duncan's like, fine, you know what? I'm just going to leave. And as he's walking out, he feels the presence of another immortal, which is the one that was chasing Kenny. And we get a flashback. So after our flashback, we see that Kenny knows this guy. His name is Kincaid. And he's more afraid of Kincaid than he is worried that Duncan will try to take his head. So he agrees reluctantly to go with Duncan. And they go back to the loft, and on their way up the elevator, Kenny feels another immortal and immediately suspects that Duncan is setting him up. Because yeah. this kid just doesn't trust anybody. They get to, you know, and Duncan's like, she's a friend, don't worry, she's not like that. She sees Kenny, Kenny sees her, and they realize that they know each other. Amanda knows Kenny, Kenny knows Amanda. They embrace, and we get another flashback.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and hey, Amanda's here still.
Yes. Yeah, Amanda's still around. So she and Kenny have some history together, which we learn in the flashback. And Amanda loves this idea of like a little family. It's her and Duncan and a kid. And she has a very maternal feel towards Kenny. Meanwhile, Duncan is like, he's not a good kid. He's not a kid. He's not good at all, but she doesn't want to hear it. She does ask Duncan politely, like, can he just stay here for a little while? And Duncan kind of agrees, but isn't really too keen on the idea. But there's not really, there's not friction between them, thankfully. Like, they didn't make it. I'm glad that they didn't go that route. It's more of Duncan just being reluctant to have Kenny around, but he also cares for Amanda enough that he's going to go with it. Meanwhile, down at the docks, we see Kincaid is still in the business he was in the flashback, freight and shipping. And Duncan shows up, confronts him, to talk to him, but we find out that after the events of the flashback, Kincaid was left on that island for like 100 years, and he harbors quite the grudge towards our friendly Highlander. And with very few words spoken, most of them very angry, swords come out and they start fighting right there.
Yeah.
And it would have kept going, except that some of Kincaid's men kind of spotted what was happening. So they put the swords away, and it was sort of a, we'll pick this up later. As Duncan's leaving, he feels an immortal, assumes it's Kenny, but can't find him. Looks around, finally leaves. Well, it was Kenny. We just didn't see him there. Mm-hmm. He goes to Kincaid and talks to him and offers up McLeod to Kincaid. Pretty much was followed Duncan, overheard what was going on, that kind of thing. So back at the loft, Kenny comes back, and he's got with him Anne. So we get a fun little awkward moment where Anne and Amanda meet.
Yep.
Followed by Duncan taking Kenny for a walk to talk to him about what goes on, and he confronts him, saying, "Hey, I know you were at the docks." Kenny's like, "I wasn't at the docks, blah, blah, blah." Duncan knows, and again, we see that same version of Duncan we saw in the chapel, where he's like, you know, "Look, if you mess up, if you keep going down this path, I'll take your head." And Kenny's like, "You're just like everybody else." He goes, no, I'm giving you a fair warning. He's like, "I'm not going to trust you, and I'm not going to turn my back on you." And that's when Kenny, again, kind of showing who he is like, "Yeah, you better not turn your back on me, or I'm taking your head," and he runs off. So you got Amanda worried about Kenny because she still thinks he's the good kid that she helped to essentially raise at one point for a while.
Yep.
You got Duncan kind of assuring her Kenny isn't this innocent boy anymore at all. And while they are worried about him, he calls claiming to be scared, but it's all a setup. He's setting up Duncan for Kincaid, but he's also setting up Amanda for himself.
Right.
So Amanda goes to the docks. McLeod follows her, and McLeod and Kincaid get into a fight at the docks. They finally have their blow off fight with Kenny watching on and Amanda searching the grounds.
"You're like Duncan. I don't know what you're talking about."
"Kenny, no. Look at me. It's okay. I know what you are. You're an immortal.
Okay, there's a chapel down the hall. You'll be safe there. Holy ground. Let's go."
So our special guest this week, we kind of have four, really. Miles Ferguson is back as Kenny, the 800-year-old, kind of 12-year-old. And he's great again. I remember us both really liking him in the last episode that he was in, The Lamb. And I think he took that and did one better here, because I think it was, there was more believability to the two sides of him. It didn't go quite so Jekyll and Hyde.
Right.
Which I really liked. I think the kid had a really good presence about him, and obviously getting come back to play a character you've played already helps. But yeah, he was good. He also, you know, Kenny's doing this great job of just playing everybody against the middle, because that's how he survived.
Right. Like, it's funny because the last time we know who Kenny is, so they're not going to bother trying to hide who he is from us, the audience, because we're already there. We know he's a backstabbing two-timer. The other interesting thing is having him back the very next season, where you can have a kid who hasn't grown up too much and aged too much to look that much different from the kid he was last season. Like,
yeah, you know,
he looks a year older, but not terribly, not like so far older that you cannot believe that he's still the kid in a 800-year-old body.
Yeah, if you were watching this in its kind of syndicated nature and happened to catch those two episodes back to back, you could see, all right, he looks a little bit older, but honestly, it's not enough for it to matter. Which was good. And again, I think in the year between his appearances, he got better at acting, and I think that he was, I just felt like he was more believable as this character here. Also because, like you mentioned, and that's a perfect way to put it, they don't have to hide who Kenny is from us.
Right.
So we can see him playing Amanda, we can see him kind of playing Kincaid, and Duncan having none of it. Like, Duncan's just like, I don't trust this kid at all. But he's playing everyone else, and then in the flashback part, when we learn that Amanda kind of teaches him that his weapon is his innocence, his youthful innocence, that's well played, because that is what he's using. He's using that against Anne, against everybody. I thought he was really good. It's still sad to me that Miles Ferguson passed away in a car accident at 19. Because he had quite a career in front of him. I think he could have had a very long career. He did a lot of kind of these TV sci-fi shows, Outer Limits, X-Files, Highlander, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought he was good.
Oh yeah.
So it was nice to have him back, and it's nice to bring a character like that back too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think again, in a syndicated show, you can kind of get away with having characters sort of come and go.
Right.
And they really weren't going to be able to use this character much more and have the same actor play him. So it was nice to do it within kind of a year of each other.
And the one other thing I'll say about him and his character is they show it in the last time on Highlander, specifically Duncan's defense of him before he knows who he is. They show that part where Duncan's talking to Richie and Joe about he's a kid. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
This is the way he's had to live. And when he betrays Duncan, when Duncan's giving him every benefit of the doubt, Duncan now is like, oh, he burned me.
Right.
There's no way I'm giving him any inch. So that's why Duncan's this way. And I think it's interesting that they don't outright say it. Like, Duncan never outright says it when he totally should. Like, I mean, he tries to tell Amanda about it at one point.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, no, I know who this. And we keep saying kid because physically he's a kid. But again, he's 800 years old.
Right.
So it's like, I know this person.
Yep.
I know what kind of person they are. I don't want to have anything to do with this person.
Yeah. Yep. That is very true. And that works, I think, really well. And it also works with the other characters that we're dealing with in this episode, because Elizabeth Grayson is back as Amanda. We mentioned that Amanda's still around, and she is, as always, great. She's great in the role. She's great in the show.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked here was that they got to play, having a recurring character like this, we get little breadcrumbs, we get to learn a little bit more. We got to learn a little bit more about Amanda in this episode. Using kind of the plot device of having Kenny show up to find out that, you know, she does worry about, she's never going to get to be pregnant and have a child because of her immortality. So to see, you know, that she got that part of things, and that was something important to her at one point. And she's still wondering about that. She's still curious if she would make a good mother. That was a cool kind of scene with her and Duncan, where she's like, do I come off as nurturing? And, you know, Duncan wanting to placate her is like, yeah, sure. And she goes, no. Be honest with me. And he's like, okay, no. Like, it's not part of who you are right now. And you could see that it wasn't like she was crestfallen by that admission from Duncan. It was more of, she understood it because the way he phrased it. He's like, the way he phrased it was perfect. It's in there. It's part of who you are. It's just not high on the list.
Right.
So I did like that. But and again, anything with Amanda is great. But it was nice to see her. It was nice to see her having these feelings, but also still staying true to who she was, because by the end of the episode, she figures out who Kenny actually is, even though for most of it, she didn't want to believe that.
Right. Yeah. It's very interesting for her character to have these blinders on when it comes to Kenny.
Right. Because no one else she would.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, she lost track of Kenny, and then all of a sudden he shows up. She wants to believe he's still that kid she was a partner with, which they said at one point, I think the soldiers in the flashback, like, they've been doing this for about a year.
Yeah.
So her and Kenny were a solid partners for a year. So, like, that's something. That's a relationship you don't just forget.
Right.
So it's really interesting to see that relationship rekindle, Kenny having gone through everything he's gone through and turn into the person he is. And Amanda just doesn't see it or doesn't want to see it. And then she finally does. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. So it was a nice little mini arc from her. And at no point did it feel out of character for her either.
Yeah. Which
it very easily could have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was happy to see that. And also we had Lisa Howard back as Dr. Anne Lindsay. And that was, so you have a narrative reason for her to be in an episode with Kenny, and it works as the go-between for getting Kenny and Duncan together, without it just being they just happen to run into each other, which I like.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, she knows the character. She's played her well. As I talked about before, I found that this watch through, I liked the character of Anne Lindsay a lot more than I remembered liking her. So it was kind of nice to see her come back. And the fact that they did it soon enough so she's still pregnant. She hasn't had the baby yet. And that came up in conversation was nice. It gives us some of that serialization of the show without kind of having... You don't have to have watched every episode for it to work. But it just adds... It adds layers to what's going on.
Yeah.
And it gave us fun, awkward moments where Duncan's feeling like, oh, great. Now I've got Anne and Amanda and they're talking. Oh, boy. So, yeah. But it also, it's an added layer that makes everything feel more real and more organic and more like, here's a reason why Duncan would even know Kenny is in town. Because he was in the hospital, ran into Anne. She knew Kenny. And when she finds out that Kenny's immortal, she calls Duncan about it. She would have no other reason to until that. But it's a nice, it's well written.
And also the stuff between her and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember this episode. I was so ready for Amanda to be the threatened girlfriend, like meeting the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And instead they were like, no, this is Amanda, confident as all get out. She's not threatened by Anne. She knows Duncan left Anne. She knows she's with Duncan now.
Yep.
Anne happens to be here. Yeah, it's awkward, but that doesn't change who's with who. Right. And so, screw it. Let's talk about it. And so she talks to Anne about the pregnancy as, again, this part of Amanda, she's thrust into this old relationship with who started out as a kid around her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's used to Kenny as a kid. Seeing him again rekindles this idea of family for her.
Yep.
And then she sees Anne, who is having a child, and is just super curious about it. Like, not threatened, just like, what is this like? Because this is something I'm never going to experience.
Yeah.
Help me out. And Anne's just like, honey, if only you knew.
Yeah, and again, that what I liked about it all was that none of it felt like it was forced. We didn't have to have some weird forced reason for Anne to be there and have these moments with Amanda. It was Kenny that brought it, that tied it together. And then allowed that to happen. And though that was, honestly, that scene with Anne and Amanda is probably my favorite part of this episode, like individual scene, just because I just liked the way that all played out. The two of them had a good chemistry with each other.
They really did.
And it was just, it was learning a little bit more about Amanda without it being too ham-fisted. Now she has a reason to ask these questions because, as you said, she sees Kenny as kind of her de facto son in a way that she lost hundreds of years ago and was never able to find again. And she's got this person here who's pregnant, who's going through things that she never will. So, yeah, I dug that quite a bit. So it was nice. And then our final special guest is Michael Preston as Terrence Kincaid. I'm racking my brain trying to think of what I know him from. And the only thing I can think of is it's got to be from Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. I mean, he's shown up in a lot of stuff, but none of it jumped out at me. It's like, that's what it is. That's got to be the thing. It was Road Warrior was the closest I could think of. But
you know, he definitely had that feeling of like, I know I've seen him before, but I can't remember it specifically. Like he was in TV series called The Renegade.
Yeah,
I remember watching that like crazy. Apparently he was in the Superboy TV series.
Yeah,
I know I saw that. I can't think of, you know, I don't remember it well enough to be like, oh yeah, he's from that. But he definitely had one of those faces that like, oh yeah, I know this guy from something, but what?
Yeah,
exactly. And it's really interesting to see his IMDb page. Like, he was working until 2002 and then
just kind of
retired or something. Yeah.
Just not doing screen acting anymore. Maybe he's just on stage. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I liked him in this. What I liked was,
oh, he was great.
Again, give us a simple background of bad guy immortal, but we've got a great tie. So we get the flashback of he knows Duncan, and he's got a grudge against Duncan, and a legitimate one. Let's be honest. He wasn't a good guy. Like, he got what he earned, what happened to him in a way. But, you know, he's got a legitimate beef with Duncan, and he's there to get Duncan. But again, he wasn't out looking for McCloud.
Right.
He was looking.
Just happened to be there.
Yeah. We don't know the story of how he and Kenny crossed paths, and it really doesn't matter. Although it would be.
That's the craziest thing. Like, I was wondering, like, okay, what's his run-in with Kenny? What happened? And how is it happening now? I'm willing to bet they somehow met up, figured each other out, and he tried to use Kenny, and Kenny's just back, you know, got out of it. It's like, I'm done for whatever
that wouldn't
deal
surprise
this is.
Me. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I am curious to know how that all happened, but not knowing, I'm not losing any sleep over it either, if that makes sense. Like, it's not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not integral to this episode or one of those, like, oh, they really need to connect that dot, but it's like, oh, man, but I want to know. Like, I'd love to hear the story of how those two crossed paths and ended up where they are. You know, did Kenny stow... Because Kenny could have stowed away on a boat that he was on. He's mentioned doing that in the past. Who knows? But, yeah, Michael Preston was good doing exactly that, and he was believable in that role, and he carried that kind of just angry energy towards Duncan really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he had a cool looking
sword.
And
he seemed to be... Yeah. Oh, I got some thoughts on that one later. But also, just the fact that he could handle that sword. Like, there are some actors that come in and it's like, you know, they immediately cut to a stunt double.
Right.
For the sword fight. Not with him. He was holding his own pretty good. I was impressed. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how much, like, stage acting he's got and has done sword fighting in the past to be able to do that well enough.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know. But yeah, it was good, solid work from our special guests all across the board for this episode.
Yeah.
You had no cause to kill him.
Didn't I? Well, Ivy was a bad influence. Dead is a shining example.
So flashbacks, we have two. And the first one takes place in the South Pacific in 1778. Duncan's aboard a merchant ship, and the crew has gone ashore. They're looking for fresh water. They look rough. None of these sailors look like they're having a good time at all. They think they find some water, but it's kind of tainted. It's not good. The sailors are getting angry. They want to turn around and go back to China and get more supplies. They're out of water. They're eating half rations of food, all this kind of stuff. But their captain, Immortal Terence Kincaid, is saying, we ain't doing that. We are making our trip back. I don't care. Now, he doesn't need extra rations or water. He'll survive regardless. And his first mate, Duncan, also would. But Duncan being Duncan, he's worried about the men. One of the men goes to make a move on Kincaid. Duncan convinces him not to, but Kincaid shoots him anyway. And eventually, as they get back to their rowboat to go back out to the ship, which Kincaid has told them, that's it, we're going, I don't care. And when Duncan confronts him and is like, the men are getting upset, and he goes, I don't care. We will not be late getting this shipment back. I don't care if it costs the lives of a couple of men. The men mutiny, and they are ready to kill and... It looks like maybe take the head of the captain. It's hard to say exactly, but Duncan convinces them to maroon him on the island. That's basically where that flashback ends, but it sets up Kincaid and his backstory really well. Because it's all we need to know as to why he is angry with Duncan, because he got stuck on that island for, as we find out later, like 100 years.
One little side note about that thing too. They got somebody that apparently had a prosthetic or something, and that's the first time I've seen somebody with an actual peg leg.
Oh yeah,
walking somewhere. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's impressive that you did that. That's impressive that you just kind of showed it and you weren't like, you know, super. Look, we've got a guy with a peg leg. He's a peg leg guy. you know, kind of thing, that they just kind of went with it as, you know, the thing. I was like, okay, good job, Highlander.
Yeah, because they very easily could have had, like, a shot that starts with the peg leg, like, in the sand and pull back from it or something, you know, draw attention to it. No, it was just there. It was just there in the background.
Yeah.
But, yeah, oh, boy, rough, though, for Mr. Kincaid. As terrible a person as he kind of is, because he just doesn't care about his men at all. They're just tools to him. Still, to get stuck on that island for... Duncan doesn't know how long he's going to be stuck there. Right. And the guy's just got to basically starve over and over on the island for who knows how long, in 100 years. That I would be upset with Duncan, too.
Yeah.
And then our second flashback is in England in 1182. And this one is young Kenny, or Kenneth at this point, grieving the loss of his parents. Amanda is wandering, and she feels his presence. He feels hers. He doesn't know what's going on yet.
Right.
So, of course, he's scared. Amanda convinces him, look, I'm not going to hurt you. I want to help you. What happened? His parents, his adoptive parents, they found him as a baby, but raised him to that point. So he's only, 10, 11 years old, I think, is how old he's supposed to be. They were killed. His parents were killed by Norman tax collectors. And so Amanda promises to take care of him. She starts to teach him about his immortality, about everything that's going on, using a sword. And we get told basically that they have been together for about a year with her teaching him, taking care of him. They're skimming money off of tax collectors, thieving and all that, when some Normans finally catch up with them. And they kill, quote unquote, Amanda. They hang her. And Kenny, scared, runs away. And that was the last time that Amanda saw him. You know, some 800 years prior.
Funny that inside that flashback, they had a flashback of, like, the actual act of Kenny's parents and him getting killed.
Yeah, that was curious. I didn't hate how that was structured. It did feel a little oddly disjointed, but
yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's the only reason I bring it up. It was a little weird, but not terrible by any stretch.
I very much liked both of these flashbacks for the reason that they were able to give us more about the characters. It didn't have to be a direct correlation plot wise to what's going on, but they gave us more about the characters. And it was good use of, like, we're going to have flashbacks in the episode. So here's a couple fun little moments, right? Give us a little tie between Duncan and Kincaid. Give us the tie between Amanda and Kenny, but also make sense as the episode progresses why Amanda latches on to Kenny as still the kid, because that's what she remembers from 800 years ago. And then we find out she spent whatever 3 years it was looking for him after that. And couldn't find him because he ran off. And so to see the difference in, this is her, what she remembers, her version of Kenny is that kid still. And the present day Kenny is 800 years of kind of anger and scorn and survival.
Right.
And it does make you wonder, nature versus nurture, how different would Kenny have turned out had he been able to be around Amanda longer?
He probably would have been better.
He would
in some ways.
I think so, but also in some ways, how worse would he have been? Because Amanda's got a checkered past too, with all her thieving and everything. Mm-hmm. But how different would that have made things for her too? So we get some of that like questioning going on. I really liked these flashbacks.
And yet again, these are very judicious in their time and what they're giving us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we've said that every episode this season. Like, the flashbacks are doing exactly what they need to do without overstaying their welcome.
Yes. They're not too long. They're not too short. They're able to, you know, they have the flashback with Kenny and Amanda is shot in a field. So it's cheap to do. It's just some costuming, and it's very easy costuming to do. And even the stuff with Duncan, That flashback is shot basically on a shore. That can be anywhere. So right. It's a good way to have flashbacks without too much expense, but they don't necessarily have to look cheap either, because you're not
right.
You're not forcing having your flashbacks take place in a location where, you know, you need a lot. I like that. And you're right. The judicial, like just the right amount of time spent.
Yep.
You said you'd help me. What'd you call him for?
He is here to help you.
Get real. He wants my head, just like that guy outside.
If I wanted your head, I'd already have it.
No Richie and no Joe this week. A little bit in flashback, like moments, but they're not part of the episode.
I thought it was funny that Joe was the one narrating the last time on Highlander.
Yeah. Oh, you know, if you got Jim Burns, you use that voice. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, and he's the watcher, so of course he's going to be the one to recap something.
Yep. So with neither of them there, nothing to talk about. And we can kind of move on to the final fight, which, again, there was a mid-episode fight, but it wasn't very long. But it does set up what we're going to get at the end, which was kind of a cool way to structure that in so much as, like, Kenny calls and Amanda answers the phone at the loft. And Kincaid wants McLeod, which is why he's having Kenny call. But Kenny doesn't even try that. He's just like, okay, here we go. I'm going to get Amanda here, knowing that McLeod will follow her.
Right.
And they have the mention of, like, you know, McLeod's yours, but Amanda's all mine. Even though he doesn't make a move on trying to, like, hurt her later on. So sort of an empty threat, but not really.
Oh no, that was the kind of threat he meant, but not in killing Amanda. He wanted Amanda for himself.
Oh,
thinking
yeah.
somehow yep. that him and Amanda could run off together.
And you're right. I didn't think whatever. About that. I didn't put that together, but you're right. You're very right. The actual sword fight between Kincaid and McLeod, what I liked about that was they at the dock, empty warehouse, so they have a nice big open area to choreograph this all in. And I thought it was a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
I liked how they were structuring everything. As you mentioned, Michael Preston handled himself really well. You didn't need to have a stunt guy in there. That's him swinging the sword around. And
yeah.
Then have Kenny interfere without interfering was also a nice wrinkle to throw in there. And blinding Duncan, which sets up Kincaid to do a lot of monologuing and a lot of, oh, I wish you could suffer the way I did, and, you know, slicing his back and slicing his leg and toying with him, which makes perfect sense, right? I mean, with what he went through, he is going to, like, want to savor this moment.
Yeah.
So.
To the point where even Kenny's up there talking to Amanda, like, look at him. This is about over.
Yeah. Yep.
Little does he know.
Yeah, Duncan's able to overcome it and take his head, which, you know, you knew was going to happen. But then I liked, too, how after the quickening, Duncan is, like, more worn out than usual. And at first my thought was, like, but that just seems like a real plot-driven thing. But he also got hurt quite a bit in that fight. So it kind of makes sense in a bit of a way as to...
He doesn't seem overworn out. Like, we've had quickenings where he's, like, just barely holding on after the quickening. I mean, what was it? One episode they talked about it where somebody was going to rush in right after a quickening and take somebody else's head or something. And
oh, was that St. Cloud, wasn't it? I think it was Xavier St. Cloud.
Probably.
Was doing that. But either way, yeah. But I liked that, and I like how Kenny, you know, handcuffs Amanda to the pipe and then takes his opportunity. He's going to go get rid of Duncan because he's also holding a grudge on Duncan a little bit. And then for Amanda, which it's funny because she really played up the whole, let me out of Kenny, get these off of me. And like,
I know
what I liked about that was it was a nice bait and switch because Amanda, you pretty much know as soon as she saw what Kenny was doing to Duncan, she already had figured it out, but she couldn't let that on yet. She couldn't let Kenny know that. And
oh, yeah.
you don't school the teacher. She taught Kenny how to use his innocence.
Mm-hmm.
So she used hers a little bit. And then when she walks up and just throws the handcuffs down, like, oh, that's kid stuff. was really fun. So I enjoyed all of this. I really liked the simple choreography of their fight. Because they both were kind of using some fencing stuff. And again, Kincaid's got a cool looking sword. And
yeah,
so him and I know you wanted to talk about the sword a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny. So I've been doing the illustrations of the weapons of the antagonists for this season. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out his. There's like basically the best shot I got of it was when McCloud walks up to that final fight and he's holding it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm looking for it on the internet and I'm trying to find it. And I'm like, nah, no, that's not quite it. That's not quite in. You know, I do my search terms. And then I realize it seems to be a replica of, let's see, what is it? Joyeux, which is the French title of the Sword of Charlemagne.
Oh.
That he personally had made and then was used in France for, I forget how many years. French kings had been using it forever to actually knight people.
Very cool.
And it was funny. I was like, huh, does he have a copy of it? Did he take the real one and they have a copy, you know, in France and he's just held on to it for some reason? Like, is one of those things where, like, maybe production just kind of picked this sword, or maybe they had their own fun backstory with it that there's a reason why he has this particular sword. So,
I mean, as far as the, like, Highlander wiki goes, his weapon of choice is just a Frankish broadsword, which he abandoned in favor, or he uses in favor of his old saber that he had.
Right.
So, no cool backstory, but I like yours quite a bit better. Yeah. So, it was a cool looking sword.
One of those things when I'm researching how to draw these things, I try to figure out, like, is this historical? Is this something that they just kind of threw together? And kind of feels like a little bit of both in this case.
Kind of, yeah.
So that was fun.
I mean, look, this is a good episode. This is a really good episode. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of layers to it, and it could have felt overstuffed, but it never gets there because, as we've been talking about with this season, everything is so well written. And so you have, you know, Kincaid and you've got Kenny. So you've got two antagonist immortals. In this case, two evil immortals. You've got Amanda. You bring in Dr. Lindsay. Like, this could have very easily gotten overstuffed. Now, granted, no Joe and no Richie makes that streamlined a little bit because you don't have too many characters to try and follow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good use of, like, we'll let these characters kind of take a week or two off. Joe, the tensions between McCloud and Joe are still ongoing. So there's a reason why Joe's not around. And he has no, like, huge tie to this. There's more of an emotional tie with Dr. Lindsay and Kenny. Mm-hmm. So that's a good way to bring in a character that we know. It gives us familiarity. We don't need a bunch of exposition backstory. We can just slide right in with these characters. And then Kincaid can be there as just the bad guy with a sword. So it works.
Mm-hmm.
But it very easily could have felt overstuffed, and it never did. And I like that. And it's a credit to the writing. We mentioned Dennis Barry directed the previous episode with Kenny, which helps too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both because he's done a lot of episodes of the show and because he's worked with Dr. Lindsay and Kenny as characters previously. Mm-hmm. So,
and it was just good to see Dr. Anne again. Like, seeing her and the way she was acting, I was like, dang, I miss her. Like, I know why she's not here, but I miss her.
No, it was. I liked that a lot. And I liked the interplay with her and Amanda and how they started off a little bit awkward, but not confrontational. And it just feels like two people getting to know each other.
And then the end of the episode, they're like,
oh, that was great.
See you, McCloud. We're hanging out.
That was so good. I love that. And there's Duncan left there holding his shirt, literally.
Yep.
But yeah, this is a good episode. It's definitely one of the stronger episodes overall, I think, in the series so far, and certainly mm-hmm. this season, in my opinion, because of those layers and because there's added stuff. It's sort of the extra bits are made that much better when you're watching the series through. Just catching mm-hmm. it in like a rotation of syndication, it's good.
Right.
But if you're watching along and you have the context and the backstory, it's better. It's just, it's like a meteor, right. a better sandwich.
Yeah. Cause even like I was saying earlier, like when this episode started and then, when Amanda's there, I was like, oh, Amanda's still here.
Mm-hmm.
Not, hey, this is another episode with Amanda. This is Amanda's still here after the last episode. It's like, she hasn't just moved on. Like, okay, that's yeah. interesting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is definitely one worth watching, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Reunion, which was cool to bring back Kenny. And I like to, again, you know, we talked about it last time around. You're not gonna behead a child on a cable TV show. Like, that's just not gonna happen.
Right.
So the yeah. fact that Kenny gets away at the end makes sense, but also kind of works for the story because Amanda doesn't want to take his head, but she will right. if she needs to, because she realizes who he is now and that he isn't the mm-hmm. kid that she knew.
Right.
So to have that threat there, but not have to follow through with it, works.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this episode, he hadn't done enough for Amanda to take his head other than just
no.
threatening to do it. So.
Right. Exactly. Now, had he beheaded Duncan, obviously, she's going
oh, yeah.
to respond, but no, it's that
this becomes the Amanda series.
Yep. So yeah, good episode. I definitely give mm-hmm. this one like an A. I mean, it's just solid all the way
oh,
through.
Yeah.
And it helps that, you know, everybody is spot on. Michael Preston just is perfectly cast to be that kind of one note evil immortal without being mustache twirly. He's just like, he's got mm-hmm. a grudge. He's yeah. got a grudge and a legitimate one against McLeod. And we get a little bit of that playful Duncan too, which we both really like, when he's,
oh yeah,
when he's doing that and kind of winking a little bit and just like cocky Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really good stuff. Now next week's episode is episode 7, The Colonel. And I'm not remembering anything about that one off the top of my head. So I'm very curious to see what happens in this one.
Heck yeah.
But it does look like Joe might be back, so.
Nice.
So that'll be next week. If you want to hang out when we record this live, you can do that at twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Audie and I record live Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. We love to have people in the chat room. Ace is in there tonight, and Amy is in there too, I know, hanging out, I think. She was playing some Fall Guys with our friend Alex Elbisu for a little bit. But, you know, we like to see people in there hanging out. There she is. Amy is in there.
Yep.
She's doing double duty, watching multiple screens. Crazy, crazy people. We love that. We enjoy doing the show live. It's just fun to, you can hear the kind of behind the scenes, the between segment talk. And then the show comes out as a podcast on Thursdays, anchor.fm/Let's Watch Highlander, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Leaving a rating and review does help the show become more discoverable, as well as helps kind of boost the signal of the show itself. I am on Twitter as TV's Travis, and I will talk Highlander or anything, pop culture, movies, TV shows, video games, whatever you want to. Hit me up there, Twitter, TV's Travis. And Audie, you are on Twitter, and you are also doing artwork for each episode. You mentioned doing this season, the theme is the antagonist weapons.
Yep.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Yep. You can find that at my Twitter, oddly normal one with the one spelled out. Yeah, it was interesting this week actually having two weapons to showcase since we had two antagonists. That was first of the season and fun to do.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. It's neat giving a like a theme to each week's art, but then trying to figure out, okay, how is he going to do that now? So I always get excited when I get the email of, here's this week's art, and I'm like, ooh, cool, what do we got? So I love that. Yeah. And the art is great, as always. So check that out for sure. Oddly Normal 1, and the number 1 is actually spelled out O-N-E. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. You are all wonderful, and we will be back next week for Episode 7, The Colonel. Until then, remember, in the end, there can be only one 800-year-old child immortal.
Yup.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.